And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side of Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. This one, this show goes like from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I'm talking about all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn. It's right across the line from there to, once again, what we call Fort Benning. Benning! And then big old patches of North Georgia, Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. By golly. And that's just the radio. That's just the radio footprint. Then there's all y'all out there who live stream it. Live streaming! Looking at us on audio and video. That's, oh, by the way, in places like X and YouTube and Rumble and Facebook and our website, rightsidemedia.org. Rightsidemedia.org. And then all you podcasters who catch it after the fact, a whole bunch of you do that. Look, we know it. I say all that every time because I sincerely want you to know, A, we can see where you catch it because we get the numbers, and then B, the fact that you do means the world to us. There's no other reason for us to do this except for y'all. So thank you very much for that. We appreciate you. Text lines are open, and then I'm going to talk about some breaking news. Mike from Chattanooga says, it's a quote from Thomas Jefferson. He says, "We in America do not have government by the majority. We have government by the majority who participate." That's a good quote. I think he's responding to the first part of my monologue where I talked about a friend of mine who was so disenfranchised she just refused to vote. And I'm like, well, then you get what you get. I'm sorry,
it's
you're
too,
out of luck.
There's too many people that died for our right That's to exactly vote. Right. I feel like it's just a little bit of a disrespect to that to not vote.
It really is. It's also a cheap excuse. I understand something happens and you can't get to the polls, you're sick, whatever else. Other than that, you need to get there.
That's one thing. My grandfather, if he was able to walk, he was going to vote whenever he could. And I think it's important.
Absolutely important. Yep. Sure enough. Mike from ARAB checking in said, "Hey, fellas, followed you on X." Thank you, sir. Tells me his handle. I appreciate it. He said, "It's my third account because of the Biden administration." Wow. Yeah, we got a major decision yesterday, which I was going to talk about today, and I had some other content came up instead that I decided to make my dippers out of. But Google did come out yesterday with a huge mea culpa, and it admitted that they have been censoring for the last few years. You saw that, I guess, didn't you?
I did. I'm interested to see if that applies to everybody or if they hand-select a certain few of like, well, you're still too bad, but you know, you maybe you can come back, but we're keeping an eye on you. You know,
no doubt. Listen, I got put in the penalty box several times on old Twitter and Facebook. Facebook, we were locked out. We just got the Facebook page back, what, this year, right?
Yeah, it was not too long ago.
We got a Facebook page right now with like, you know, 6,000-something followers on it. And we couldn't get to it for the longest time. And then all of a sudden, mysteriously, we were able to get to it again.
Mm-hmm.
Ta-da! Trump got elected and ba-bam, I had a Facebook page again. Allie from Athens says, "Colonel Williams, thank you for busting me." Thank you for busting me? He said, "I'm way too guilty." Oh, there you go. "Way too often of letting the quest for the perfect jettison any real lasting progress. I appreciate this more than I could say." Thank you, my friend. You're good at what you do. John from Harvest says, "Someone at the UN played stupid games with the escalator and teleprompter." Oh, I'm going to talk about it. Don't worry. He said, "I'm sure they thought they were being cute, but they just unleashed Trump, who was a very good extemporaneous speaker, and it was a sight to behold." Yes, indeed. They got the unvarnished version because they chose to try and stymie his ability. They forgot they didn't have Joe Biden up there anymore. They had a guy who didn't need a teleprompter. John from Huntsville says, "Phil, fantastic monologue. Thank you. Also, did you hear that the guy who attempted to assassinate Trump at the Florida golf course tried to stab himself after he was found guilty?" I did. He says, what's the next part? Oh, by the way, JP, did you see that the baseball player last night got hit in the face with a 99-mile-per-hour fastball? It actually came off his bat. He was trying to bunt, and it come off his bat?
Yeah.
Right in the face, though?
That is the biggest fear of any baseball player is bunting with somebody who can throw it fast. Something like that could happen.
I mean, 99 miles per hour.
Yeah, that could break
heat.
Break some teeth, break some bones.
Otherwise, is he in the hospital? What's the deal?
Actually, I haven't seen an update on that.
I haven't either. I did see the video last night, though, and he went down.
Yeah.
And it really kind of rocked the pitcher, too. Was it Skakel?
I can't remember, but yeah, the pitcher threw his glove down and put his hands over his head. Clearly not intentional, but that's just...
No, I mean, the pitcher didn't have anything to do with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
He put it right down the pipe, but mm-hmm. the guy's... It just came off his bat funny.
Yeah.
Jeff from Indiana says, "You're wrong, Phil. Not everyone needs to vote. If you're hopefully uneducated about politics and who's running, please do not vote." Jeff from Indiana. Aaron or Lewis from Trinity says, apparently the opposing team caused the ruckus, did not realize there was a mighty a ranger, I think he meant, in the house who would have considered it a warm-up. Go Army. The hair was standing up in the back of my neck. Let's put it that way. Aaron from Madison says, how do you think things are stacking up for the midterm elections here in Alabama? Do you think the Republicans or Democrats are more fired up? In Alabama, I think we're good. In Alabama, I think we're fine. I don't anticipate losing any ground in Alabama. My concern are some of the purple states. What's going to happen in places like Virginia, Arizona, and what's going to happen with the redistricting pieces? Are they going to stand up in Texas, and what are they going to do in California? So there are places where I'm concerned, and we only have, I think now, a 6-vote margin to work with in the House. But I will say this, this coming midterm next year, if I'm not mistaken, is considered to be more hazardous for the Democrats in the Senate than it is in the House, or than the Republicans, because they have more of what they call lean seats and open seats than they ever would have wanted at this time. So stand by, more to come. A week is a lifetime in politics, and we got well over a year. So it's going to be interesting. All right, hey, I got to talk about some breaking news, all right? So I want to get your text messages done and honor the fact that y'all participate in the show too. But we just had a story break, in the last couple hours, JP? When did it break?
Like first thing this morning.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it was earlier this morning.
So if you're not familiar, I will tell you that at an ICE facility in Dallas, Texas, a detention facility, apparently a shooter got up on a rooftop or something across the way.
Yeah, he was on a rooftop across the street.
Yeah. And some reports say he began firing indiscriminately into the ICE facility. He killed two detainees. We're talking about illegal aliens. He killed two detainees. Well, the story I've got says two.
Oh, did somebody else must have passed away since?
Yeah, I've got right now that there are two deaths and one injured. And maybe that's not true, but there's at least one death. But it's pretty awful. Now, here's the thing. The first question was, what were the motivations? Why did he do this? Why is he shooting up an ICE facility? Well, the left is immediately out there with the narrative that this was a radical right winger who's out there trying to kill illegal aliens. If that was the case, he can go to a Home Depot parking lot and do the job a lot easier. But the truth is, that's what they're going with because they're desperate to not be lumped in once again with violent extremism. However, what we know right now is that the FBI is on the scene, and the shooter apparently took his own life. So he is dead. And shell casings found at the site have anti-ICE stuff written on them. So it's not likely that it's going to wind up being a right winger. JP, you said you also saw evidence of his postings on Facebook or something, right?
Yeah. Well, Laura Loomer, who is like the vetting master of finding stuff out, she apparently found his Facebook page that had Antifa things on it, and apparently his profile picture was a guy with a gun with a hammer and sickle flag in the background. So this was a communist guy, apparently, which my best bet is a communist guy who doesn't like ICE and is a bad shot and was shooting at ICE officers indiscriminately and hitting detainees and then taking his own life. That's the story. But of course, the fact that he killed detainees instead of ICE officials makes the left think that he was trying to shoot immigrants and that the anti-ICE writings of the bullets were planted by the Cash Patel FBI because they can't be trusted. It's like, which one seems a bit more believable here?
Yeah, let's see. Do I trust the FBI under Cash Patel's leadership and the Trump administration? Or do I trust the left-wing pundits who desperately want it to be something else?
Yeah, and I'm sure this guy was such a master, good shot, and he meant to shoot detainees. Like, come on, seriously?
Okay, the shooter's name, Fox just said this. The shooter's name was Joshua John, J-A-H-N, Joshua John. And the headline on Fox now reads that there are two dead, one wounded. But it says, who is Joshua John, or Jan, I'm trying to pronounce, shooter in the deadly ICE facility attack? And it goes on to say, sources familiar with the investigation identified his name as Joshua John. He's 29 years old. He killed two detainees, injured another after opening fire on an ICE facility from a nearby building before taking his own life. The detainee who survived was hospitalized in critical condition. John, it says, fired indiscriminately at the ICE building as well as at a van in the Sallyport where the victims were shot, the Department of Homeland Security said. The three detainees were in an unmarked transport van when they were shot, and then John took his life. It was around 7 a.m. this morning. Okay, I didn't know that. He was found dead with a rifle. The rounds that I see look like they are 5.56 rounds, so I'm assuming he was firing an AR or some kind of platform like that. And is there anything else about his identity here? Let's see. No, but not that I could see in this particular article. But I will tell you this, Senator Tuberville and Katie Britt of Alabama have both already issued statements on it. Senator Tuberville said, praying for the victims involved in this attack and their families, the radical left must stop the demonization of our law enforcement, specifically ICE and Border Patrol. Yes. And then Katie Britt, Senator Britt said, please join me in praying for the victims, their families, and all of our law enforcement officers while we wait on more information to be released. At this point, it's clear this is another disgusting attack on our courageous ICE officers. Secretary Noem and FBI Director Kash Patel, and I'm sorry, it got cut off, so I got to reopen it to see, have my full support for any resources needed to stop this political violence. Okay. The left's rhetoric is inflammatory. Don't think for a second that people like AOC and Bernie Sanders and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and name them, Elizabeth Warren, the Mayor Karen Bass of LA, Gavin Newsom, don't think for a second that their inflammatory rhetoric doesn't in some way influence people who are already on the fringe. It does. It's almost like giving them a pass. It's like saying, yeah, I gotta stop it because they're horrible people. Why? Because the voices that I listen to tell me they're horrible people. They're law enforcement. They are law enforcement. They are wearing the badge. They have sworn an oath to protect and defend. They are just as dedicated to their job as any other law enforcement officer of any department, whether it be local, state, or federal. And the idea that we're going to continue to demonize or allow the demonization of men and women who serve ably to protect and support and to enforce the laws, it's to the point of almost being criminal in itself. That rhetoric, listen, you bear some responsibility for your words. You can say what you want. You have a First Amendment right, but you also bear some responsibility for your words. And you can't go out there and continue to malign people and not expect that your rhetoric is going to have some measure of impact. And I'm, you know what? Now that I said that, some of them that are saying these things, maybe that's the impact they want. I just to be honest with you, I'm so beyond some of their rhetoric that I'm thinking that this type of inflammatory rhetoric, that they know what's going to happen and they do it anyway.
Well, and I know we got to take a break, but I'll just say this. I mean, Gavin Newsom literally yesterday was bragging about how he had a law passed in the California state legislature that bans ICE from wearing masks. Can you think of why they want to wear masks? Because they get doxxed and some people want to go and shoot them just like this guy did.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's also Tim Walz saying that ICE is acting as the modern day Gestapo. It's like, guys, people listen to you and they take up arms because of what you're saying. So maybe you should tone it down just a hair, just a little bit.
Just a bit. Just a bit. All right, we'll track that story. If more comes out during the show, we'll break in and let you know. In the meantime, we're taking a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just making common sense like a superpower. We're going to talk about several things today. And if you want to call in, Todd, or text in, the number is 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Let me get a couple of text messages. I see one here. That one's not on the topic, so I'll change it. Shane from Harvest says, these are the same people that say President Trump caused an insurrection from what he said January 6th. It's evil gaslighting people. I've heard of toxic leadership, but this is ridiculous. That's a great point. It absolutely is. I gotta tell you, too, just one funny thing. I can't pass this up. I'm seeing it right now on social media. It's kind of hilarious. But I don't know if you've seen, like, Trump is basically redecorating the White House in many ways, putting his sort of his stamp on things.
Just a hair.
A little bit. Yeah, he's got his style. He's got his way. You know, it's his office. Hey, one of the things he did was on that covered portico walk to the West Wing, he put the kind of the presidential walk of fame. And so every president's photo is now framed walking down that walkway until you get to the one of Joe Biden. It's just a framed picture of the auto pen.
It's hilarious, but it's actually pretty sad how accurate it is.
I had to push the mic away because I was laughing so hard.
Whoever had access to the auto pen was president for the day.
That's right. It's your turn to be president for 5 minutes. Oh, crank up the auto pen. Here's the passcode. How does that thing even work? That's just crazy.
I have no idea.
I don't know either. We're going to talk about several things today. Political haymakers. When I say that, what I'm talking about is there are things that are happening that are making hay. And you got to wonder, are Democrats gaining ground? Like the first thing I've got here, and we'll go back and forth. If you want to call in about that ICE thing, we can talk about that too. But because it's a pretty big deal. But I have a story here from Fox. And the first thing this morning is I'm getting the show ready. You know, Charlene is usually, you know, doing her own quiet time and then also, you know, checking the news herself. And I can't tell you how many times she'll point out stories to me that I hadn't even seen. And she calls out to me and says, "Hey, did you see this story?" And it's about an election yesterday in Arizona for Congress. I did not know this. It was a special election. You're thinking, oh, good Lord, did we lose a seat? Well, it says in here the House majority shrinks. What have we got? Well, fear not. When I say fear not, yes, we did lose the election, but it was also a seat that's always been held by a Democrat in a very decidedly blue area that we did not expect to win. And this was just the basically the lady, her name is Adelita Grijalva. Adelita Grijalva replaced her father. I'm sorry. No, where's her father's name? Raul Grijalva. She replaced her father who passed away from cancer, who was the congressman prior to her. And so she just ran for daddy's seat and basically ran on name ID and ran blue in a blue area. So we lost a seat. Having that seat now filled does slim our majority down from 219 to 214 in the House. But it's also a seat that we didn't expect to gain. We have two other vacant seats right now. One is in Texas' 18th Congressional District, which is a heavily Democrat part of Houston. So there's that one. And then that's going to be held on November 4th. And the other one is in Tennessee. Tennessee's 7th Congressional District, it's a right-leaning seat. Republican Representative Mark Green stepped down, you may remember, take a job in the private sector. It's currently vacant, but it's expected to be another Republican. So it's going to be a net wash. We're going to wind up seeing something like a, 222, 221 to 215. It's still going to be a 5-6. Talk about narrow. I mean, it doesn't come. It's downright anorexic, man. It's that thin. So anyway, when I look at this, the first thing that Charlene and I thought was the headline was misleading. Did we shrink the majority? Yes, only because we replaced one Democrat with a Democrat, and they'd only been vacant for 6 months, and it was expected to lose. The question is, what's going to happen with the other two? And then what's going to happen with the ones that are up for grabs in areas? The real truth is going to be the midterms. But leading up to them, what's going to wind up happening is Democrats are going to crow, "We took a seat in Arizona." No, you took back your seat in Arizona. But I got stuff. I got more stuff. We got to talk about what happened in Alabama last night. There was a major mayoral race and several others, and it was big doings. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two already. Where'd hour number one even go? I just like flew by. I get a few text messages and I'm going to the phones. We got a brand spanking new texter in the line. He says, "If ICE can't wear masks, then why can the cashier at Publix?" That's a fair point. I mean, when are masks allowed, when they're not, right? By the way, that's Kirk from Madison. Kirk, we're glad you're in there. And I'm taking it from the acronym you threw there at the end, Night Stalkers Don't Quit, that you're a former Night Stalker. And so thank you very much for your service, if that's the case. And we also had the tragedy. Night Stalkers, by the way, the 160th Special Operations Aviation Regiment that fly all of our special ops guys where they got to go. They they suffered a loss. They had four of their own die in a training event just last few days. So anyway, Night Stalkers don't quit. That's right. Clint from Tony, Alabama says, Phil, thank you for all you do. Thank you, sir. He said, question, is there any point that the inflammatory rhetoric that the left spews every time a camera or microphone is pointed at them becomes actionable due to them inciting violence? If not, can the president do an executive order to prevent them from doing it or continuing it? And the question, Clint, I'll tell you, is no. The only way you can do that is to say, is to find the direct nexus. If I say something's bad over here and somebody acts out way over there, someone could say, if you would stop saying those things, which is what we're doing, and I think there's a definite attribution here. The reality is, though, in terms of liability or litigation potential or anything else, you would have to have a direct nexus. You'd have to say, I called him on the phone, or I sent him a DM on his socials, or I texted him, and I said, you've got to do something because these ICE agents are so bad, and then he went out and did it, then, yes, I could be inciting. If I gave a speech, and he was sitting in the audience in front of me, and he left my speech and went and shot somebody, then you could say that potentially I had incited that violence. Very difficult to prove. And you have to have some measure of intent in order to find conspiracy. You have to have some measure of intent with a direct nexus in order to show liability. So there's Lawyer Phil talking it through off the cuff for a second.
By the way, we got a direct message on your Facebook. It says, come on, sir. The ICE shooter used a 30-06 and M1 Grand. Or, yeah, that's right, Grand, right? And not a 5.56. Keeping you straight, Ranger. God bless.
He's saying that because it looked like a speed loader clip. And I'm saying that I've seen any number of those clips come out of a box of 5.56 rounds that are all clipped together. So I can't tell from the photo that I'm looking at. But thank you, brethren. I appreciate your gun knowledge and for, quote-unquote, sharpshooting me on the air. real quick, Kim from Danville says, what makes the things extreme left say out loud different from the dark web whisper to the misguided activist? There's not a lot of difference. There's really not, except that the ones that are dark web whispering are probably being communicated to directly. Hey, let me go to the phones. He held on, so let me grab that real quick. Jeff Rowe from Indiana is calling in early. My brother, what you doing?
Oh, I'm going through Nashville. It's a little patient.
What? You're already up yonder in Nashville?
Yeah, imagine that.
Wow. You are cruising, dude. Well, what's on your mind? Why'd you call in so early? You got something you want to harp on?
Oh, these texters are taking my thunder, but but you know, the thing about it is, Phil, with all the rhetoric and everything, did you hear that Gavin Newsom wants ICE agents dead?
Did he say that?
Well, yeah. I mean, he wants them to be unmasked and everything. If this was if Gavin Newsom was on the right, and somebody on the right said, "Oh, you passed this law and everything," what do you think the left would be saying?
Well, it's. I guarantee if we passed a law saying Antifa can't riot without, you know, with masks on, they'd be having a fit. Mm-hmm. It's a First Amendment right or something crazy.
Exactly. But you get talking about the, you know, not being actionable for all this rhetoric. You know, I personally think that ICE agents should file a class action lawsuit against all these politicians that's calling them Nazis.
Like what? Like a defamation suit?
Defamation suit, yeah, exactly. You have elected politicians calling these people Nazis and stuff, and you know, Nazi has a definition. You know, you belong to the National Socialist Party and everything, and you don't. And most of these people are not. You know, 99.99% of them don't.
I can see it. You know, it'd be one thing if they said all law enforcement, it was very generic, but they are saying specifically ICE, or they are saying specifically, you know, DHS employees. And I don't know. I mean, I'd have to look at that. Can that qualify? I'm not sure if that can. I tell you what, they'd have to have actual damages, too. Here's the other thing. They'd have to show that they suffered damages, like they were deplatformed or they were debanked, or that they lost their, you know, their place on a board because they were ICE employees or whatever. I could see it if they could prove damages, but Then there, but you know what? Now that I said that, okay, lawyer Phil talking, there is a thing called defamation per se, and that's where you don't have to actually prove the damages because the damages are inferred because someone was intending to harm your reputation, and it's obvious.
The damages are obvious. I mean, these people are masked up for their protection because of the rhetoric.
Yeah.
I mean, otherwise, why would you have a mask on if you weren't afraid? So
yeah.
Just the fear of being accosted by someone who's crazy because of the rhetoric would be enough. It's like, if I yell fire in a crowded theater,
right.
when there's not a fire, that's not, it's dangerous because I've told a lie that was not true. And that the fact that these people could be killed or hurt because of this lie is why I would be charged.
So well,
with the Democrats lying about ICE and everything, what is the difference between that and yelling fire in a crowded theater?
There are times when I would say it's not. I mean, there are times when I would say it's not. It's one thing to say I don't like ICE tactics or I don't think that ICE should do it this way. But it's another thing altogether for, like you're right, to just blanket them with statements like Nazis and jackbooted thugs and that kind of stuff.
Because Gestapo.
Gestapo. Because it literally is designed to paint them in a bad light is the phrase that we would use in legal parlance.
Yeah, and it's basically saying go out and hurt these people or, resist and do all of these other things. I mean, it's basically the same thing as yelling fire in a crowded theater. It's what happens after that would be basically the same because these people are getting accosted. I think it's up 1,000% now of the attacks that's on ICE right now. So that had to come from somewhere.
Oh yeah, I mean, I guarantee you that what's happened is the anti-ICE rhetoric. And the angst about illegal immigration enforcement is absolutely what's driving the train on the increase in assaults. And some of those, I don't know all these assaults, where they're coming from, but I suspect that part of that is these gatherings that they gather up outside the gates and then like tussle with ICE agents when they're just trying to do their jobs. But today the shooting is all next level and it's going to unfold over the days to come, but JP was just telling me that they've already determined that he comes from a very leftist family, that's like extreme leftist family, and you said JP he even had a transgender sister or something.
No, so well, first his mom has been very vocal about her advocating for gun laws, but his sister is a vocal Beto O'Rourke supporter who is also, from the looks of it, in a lesbian relationship. So Sounds like a MAGA family to me, right?
Yeah. And then there's the anti-ICE stuff written on the bullets, yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if Jimmy Fallon will accuse him of being MAGA.
You know, I think right now, Kimmel, you mean Jimmy Kimmel.
I'm sorry.
I think Kimmel will probably toe the line for a little while. I think Kimmel got put in timeout and has learned his lesson, at least for the moment. We'll wait and see.
I think stick a fork in him, he's done, because I didn't see anything apologetic on that last night. And he basically thumbs his nose and did a little crying thing because he's worried about his own thing, but he's too proud to admit that he was actually wrong and actually apologized. And Turning Point has come out and said that is so much of a statement.
Yep, I would agree. All right, brother. Hey, listen, I'm so glad you're further down the road than usual right now. Be safe on the rest of the trip. We got to take a break, all right?
You all have a good one. Thank you.
See you, bud. All right, we're taking a break. We'll come right back, and I'm going to jump into more of this political haymaker. Got to talk about what happened with the mayor's race in Mobile, Alabama. I mean, the Democrat got a Kamala Harris endorsement. What happened? I'll tell you. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades. That's what we're doing. I'm sorry. It took me longer to come back from the bump. I was too busy educating JP on what a 60-year-old man's workout looks like. Just saying.
Aggressive planks.
Aggressive planks is what I like to call them. When you got three fused vertebrae in the neck, you don't do crunches anymore.
Yeah.
And when you've got like other like arthritic knees and things like that, there's not like, anyway, you got to modify is what I'm saying, bro. Modify.
I've done side planks once and it was from the demands of a football coach and I'll never do the side planks again because they're awful.
Well, mine are self-inflicted aggressive planks.
Yeah.
and they're talking to me right now. Hey, listen, I got to jump on into some stuff. So I'm talking about political haymakers is what I called it. What kind of ways are Democrats and Republicans making hay right now in politics? Well, so I told you a minute ago about the congressional races. Yes, the Democrats won a seat last night, but not really, because it was a seat that had been vacated by a Democrat who passed away from cancer in an overly blue area, and all they did was just go ahead and run for it. Special election, got it back. We expected that. It does narrow the margin slightly of who's available to vote in the House, but it was not a surprise. Then let's look at major races for mayors. Listen, I'm going to tell you, if you didn't pay attention during COVID, shame on you, but it's the truth is we learned the hard way to the extent to which local leadership can really make a difference. And in major metropolitan areas, even more so, because it affects so many people, and then it has second and third order effects around its region. For instance, what's happening in New York City right now with this outright socialist communist, Zohran Mamdani. Listen, y'all, I got a piece here for the New York Post, Dateline, just last week, that he is holding a 21-point lead right now in the polls. 21-point lead. So he's got a huge lead. Next behind him is Andrew Cuomo at 24%. Then 17% is Curtis Sliwa, the Republican, who's not going to win. And then you've got 9% going to current Mayor Eric Adams, 5% undecided. This is a Marist University public opinion survey, so it's a reasonably, you know, it's expected to be a real survey. Questions are still revolving around, will anyone drop out? Will anyone just read the tea leaves and say, it is better for the overall, if we want to keep Mamdani from getting elected, for other people to drop out and swing? Because what you're seeing right now is if they're not polling from Mamdani, it means they're probably not Mamdani voters no matter what happens. So if Eric Adams drops out, who gets his 5%? If Eric Sliwa drops out, who gets his? Will anybody? Will it just change the dynamic because there's no Republican at that point? What can you do to get hold of the votes if people want? So right now what we're looking at is we could very well see one of the greatest cities on earth, New York City. I love New York City. I was just there. New York City. I love the Big Apple. But it deteriorated under recent conditions. It is not the New York City of Rudy Giuliani. It's not. And it is struggling. And if you think it's struggling now, good Lord. If Mamdani gets elected, he's talking about raising taxes, tearing down parks in order to put up so-called, you know, affordable housing complexes. He's looking at doing any number of things like spending money on socialist programs like community-owned grocery stores. So I will just tell you, it's a big deal.
I'm still holding out hope that majority of New York voters are not just young woke kids who want rent control and government-run grocery stores. But I think it would have to take Eric Adams dropping out, because I think his incumbency is hurting him, because obviously they don't like what's going on.
It's going to take Cuomo to beat him right now.
Yeah, I think
crazy.
They all got to rally around Cuomo, which is like the lesser of two evils.
Well, and that's actually what, getting ready for this morning, that's what drove me to that monologue I did about the quest for the perfect outweighing the good. Here's the truth. This guy, Curtis Sliwa, he's an interesting character. He's done some neat things. He's not going to win the race. He's not. It's too blue of an area. I love the fact that he's in there, but he was not going to be the candidate that could galvanize a swing to Republican voters. He's going to get some just because he's an R, and that's about it. But right now, I think the only person that could unfortunately beat Mamdani is Andrew Cuomo, who I don't care for at all. Yep. I think he's a thug. At the same time, the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Will you take the thug that you know, or the guy that would literally turn New York City into
a socialist
a socialist state? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that was the point of my monologue earlier, was the quest for the perfect cannot outweigh the gain of the good. And so at this point, I'm saying I got no choice but to go, looking at what we got in front of us, I think Cuomo's the man. and it's time for Eric Adams to drop out. And it wouldn't bother me in this case if Sliwa dropped out, because all it might do is swing more votes into Cuomo and help close that 21% gap we're seeing in the polls and keep us from having an actual communist run the... New York City has an economy that if they broke off and became their own nation, they would have the 12th highest GDP in the world. That's how big the economy of New York City is. You're talking, was it 5 million residents? I mean, it's like the population of Alabama in one city. Look at and see what the population of New York City is.
8 million.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Eight and a half million.
Okay. We're 5.2 million is the population of the entire state of Alabama. 8 million people. They are stacked up like cordwood in that city. But nonetheless, it's a nation unto itself. I don't like the politics, but I really don't want to see it go down that road. That guy doesn't deserve to be a mayor. And yet, democracy is what it is. And the only way to work this is to work the democratic system and find a way to beat him at the polls.
He's a fraud. I mean, he's a rich kid. He's a rich theater kid who thinks socialism's cute and knows that if it doesn't work, he can fall back on his parents' money. And also has claimed to be African-American when applying to college.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
So,
a rich theater kid?
That's what he is, yeah.
He's a rich theater kid. Mm-hmm. I've never heard that phrase. Is that a phrase? Or is that
it
like,
is. Okay, yeah.
We coined it here. Right Side Radio. Use that when you want to. Insult him. He's a rich theater kid. Bless his heart. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Taking a break. Coming right back. I got to tell you about Mobile, what happened last night. Let's talk about mayor's races in Alabama. We'll be right back. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there. You are listening to Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on major ground across the Southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show, I mean, goes from, like, Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the line from there to what we call, once again, Fort Benning. Benning! And then big old patches of North Georgia, Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. And that's just the radio. Yes, it is. Just the radio. Then there's all y'all out there in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web and live streaming the show on places like X, YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, and our website, rightsidemedia.org. And then, oh, by the way, there's a ton of y'all that podcast the show. Catch it after the fact. All that to say, we can see it, we know it, and Lord, we appreciate it. Thank you so much for being a part of our family, part of our lives. You're the only reason why we do what we do, so thank you very much. Text lines are going strong. I'll catch up on some of those here momentarily. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Give me your thoughts on what we've been talking about. I'm finishing up this thing about political haymakers. Let's talk about this. The race down yonder in Mobile. I hold in my calloused former paratrooper hands the results of last night's mayoral race in Alabama's second biggest city. So for those of y'all that are not familiar, Mobile is the second biggest city in the state now. It's funny how that all flipped around in the last few years.
I was about to say that when I was a kid, they were like the fourth.
Yeah.
And like 10 years later, then the second.
It's crazy. Whoop. It's just, but so Mobile's a, by the way, Mobile's a major city. It's one of the big five, they call it in Alabama. But it's a major city for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is that it's like a huge port city. It's a funnel, if you will, to the river deltas and up the Mississippi River. It's a big, big part of commerce. It's the bottom end of I-65. It's the gateway to the Gulf. All that to say, Mobile's a big deal. Spiro Chiriagatis. There's a name for you. Talk about somebody who's probably had his name mispronounced multiple times.
It's a Hall of Fame name.
It is. I could be mangling it right now for all I know, but I'm pretty sure it's Spiro Chiriagatis. Is the Republican who won the 2025 mayoral election in Mobile. Can I have some applause, please, for the Republican who won? And I'm going to tell you right now, It was a narrow margin. Now, it's a little bit better than I thought it was, JP, because they finished up the count. He won with 51.3% of the votes. That's
still pretty dang close.
That's pretty dang close. Last night, when I went to bed, I was checking on it. It was tied 50-50. At one point, I called it out to Charlene. I said, honey, there's a one-vote difference, one vote between the two candidates so far. But yeah, so Spiro Chiriagatis, the Republican, was backed also by the outgoing incumbent, Mayor Sandy Stimson, who I know personally, think the world of him. I like the whole Stimson family. They're wonderful people. Chiriagatis won. Barbara Drummond was the Democrat. So Barbara Drummond, in case you didn't see, got what Democrats love and Republicans loathe in the last few days. A, she got a nationwide call-out endorsement from Kamala Harris, which I don't know that helped her.
No.
And then she also got $100,000 from the teachers union for her last-minute payout on her race. So failed 2024, 1819 News again, failed 2024 Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris touted State Rep Barbara Drummond during an appearance on Rachel Maddow's show. She just said, this is what she said. I watched it. It was live. In fact, it's funny. I was in the green room at CNN. We were all watching it, the interview with Maddow. It was painful. I think I said yesterday, I'd just rather have somebody poke me in the eye with a sharp stick. But I did it. I watched it because I thought we were going to talk about it on the show that I was on. And so there she is on Maddow, and she's talking about rising stars and, you know, and Mom Donnie. But then she goes, but he's not the only rising star. You know, we got people like Barbara Drummond in Mobile, Alabama, and Helena Marino in New Orleans. And I'm thinking, Barbara Drummond. And I looked at a guy who was sitting there who I think is a Democrat. And I said, she may have just cost Barbara Drummond the race.
Well, so why do you think it was that close? Is it Mobile got a strong Democratic presence?
They do. Yeah, Mobile's got a strong. There's a lot of blue, and if you look at it, it's. I don't want to say it's a purple city, but it is
probably
it,
becoming more purple as it's growing in population.
Unfortunately, and that's probably true. And they also incorporated. Part of the reason why it grew was not just an influx of people. It's because they incorporated some of the outlying areas and made them part of the municipality just in the last few years, and that automatically grew them to a different size. And they incorporated some areas that were more blue.
Yeah, and probably the fact that the Republicans control every part of the government, probably at the federal government, probably emboldened Democrats to show up and vote probably as well. So
there was not a lot of apathy, I guess I would say. Mm-hmm. But luckily they pulled it out. Now here's the other piece of this that I thought was really worth watching. In fact, I talked to Brian Dawson from 1819 this morning. We were trying to get him on the show. We were just catching up on some things, and he was not able to be here, but he had just written a piece in 1819 that says the AEA, that's the Alabama Education Association, basically Alabama's teachers union, conservative Christian mask just slipped. So if you didn't see it, one of the things that happened in the last like 10 days, I think, is that the teachers union gave $100,000 in one whack to Barbara Drummond's campaign. They did. $100,000. Why is the teachers union trying to influence a mayoral race, you may ask? Well, number one, Barbara Drummond is a true teachers union person. I mean, her voting record would make communists at the NEA proud, is what Dawson said in his write-up. He said, this woman voted against a bill that prohibited gender identity and sexuality discussion in schools. She voted against a bill defining gender based on biological sex. She voted no on the Lake and Riley Act that allows local law enforcement to partner with federal governments. She has a radical voting record, and the AEA gave her $100,000. So as you look at these campaign contributions from the teachers union, you realize also, too, and I'm not sure for a fact, but we need to look and see. Maybe you can look this up while I'm talking. A lot of municipalities, the mayors get appointments to the local school boards. I don't know how the Mobile City School Board handles their, if they're all elected or if they're appointed. But the truth is, mayors have influence, and the AEA wanted that influence. And they had one of their own, if you will, who was getting close, and they tried to push her over the edge. And it failed, thank goodness. Once again, the teachers union burning their members' dollars on loser candidates with radical voting records. That's what they do. That's who they are. What'd you find? How do they do it in Mobile?
It says the local school board members are elected by the qualified voters of the county or city, not appointed.
Okay. What about library boards in Mobile? I think the library board is one of the other ones the teachers union is really on fire about because, you know, libraries, that's the center of the world for controversy apparently now.
Library boards are appointed by the city's governing body.
There you go.
Which is the Mobile City Council.
Okay, there you go. The city council and the mayor's offices do have influence on the library boards, and I guarantee you they can weigh in on things related to the school board, although it may have a separate election for those. All that to say, the teachers union looked at the two candidates and decided it was going to weigh in on a mayoral race in one of the biggest cities in our state, and threw a six-figure donation behind the most radical one they could find.
That's telling on themselves gross. A little bit.
Just a little bit. Yeah, that whole thing. By the way, if you are a member of the AEA paying your dues every month and you are a right-side ruffian, you're a conservative, at the very least you're a Republican, just realize that's what they do with your dues. The teachers union takes your dues and they give it to candidates like that. And the idea that they have, well, they've modified their stance. You know, the whole, the Christian conservative side of the AEA has finally come out. You saw what they just did with $100,000 of your dues money. Well, there you have it. But they lost. Thank goodness. By the way, a couple other races I thought were significant. I don't know if you saw it or not, but Republicans had a good win in Gunnersville. That was a runoff. The Gunnersville race between the current incumbent, who was endorsed by Katie Britt, actually, and a guy named Jeff McLaughlin, who's a longtime Democrat, former state House member, who now wants everybody to believe he's really a Republican. The incumbent won, so that's good. And it was they actually tied. They were a dead heat tie. This was a runoff election, but the incumbent Republican won.
The number I saw earlier, I'd have to find it again. It wasn't even really close.
No, it was a pretty good win.
So it's like maybe all the distant family members and friends got guilt tripped in the going to the ballots or something.
Maybe.
It's like, hey, guys.
Yeah. Like that time when you were on vacation and forgot to vote?
Yeah.
Not this time. That's a heck of a thing, man. When you lose by one vote, you realize all it took was two of your friends to go to the polls who forgot. And you would have won.
It's like that skit.
I've seen it happen.
It's like that skit when Larry David were in there. They're in the line, and the other guy's voting for the other candidate. Then Larry's voting for, so they go, "Oh, we'll cancel each other out. We'll just leave." And then ended up losing by one vote.
Oh,
stuff happens. It's crazy.
All right, we're taking a break. We'll take this break. We'll come right back. Catch up on some text messages. Give me your thoughts on this. How do you feel about the teachers union weighing in on mayoral elections? And how do you feel in general about mayor's races? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.